Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manning.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We are here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're welcoming back Neil Donald Walsh. We're going to talk about how to communicate with spirit, how to communicate with God. Neil, of course, is the author of the incredible series, multi-million sales of his books in the Conversations with God series, and they're life-changing, they're extraordinary, and it's really about, suppose you could ask God the most puzzling questions about existence, questions about love and life, life and death, good and evil, and suppose God provided clear, understandable answers. That's what happened with Neil back in 1993. It all began where he was having some tough times. He was railing and ranting against, why am I having all this bad luck? And suddenly he got information from Spirit that was dictated to him, basically, about a book. And he began jotting everything down. And before you knew it, he had a book and he got it published. And then it became this worldwide series, Conversations with God. And in each book, different topics are covered. And they're all written in layman's terms. Neil does not claim to be a channel or a psychic. He is a spiritual messenger. And I have the first four books at home here. I'm just about to start Awaken the Species, book number four, which is really about everything happening right now. This one, I believe, was written around 2015, 2016, and the others were written back starting in the 90s, and each one covers different topics, and I'm going to get into so many different topics that I thought would be interesting to everybody out there. Life and death, what happens at the time of death, ETs, spirituality, what God wants from us, what God doesn't need from us. And a lot of things that you would say, okay, if you wanted to ask God a question, what would I ask? Well, I wrote a whole bunch of those down. We're going to cover them today on Guys Guys Radio with my special guest, return guest, Neil Donald Walsh, the world-acclaimed spiritual messenger. And, you know, Neil holds a special place for me because on the show and in my heart, because he was my first kind of big guest, if you will. I remember asking publicist Sarah Scarlett, I said, I see you represent him at the time, and I really would love to have him on the show. And the next thing you knew, I was set up, and I was nervous, but we had a great conversation. And since then, every time I've asked, Neil shows up, and he says, how can I be of service? And he's been so helpful. Even with my own book writing, he sent me a 12-point document about how to write and publish a book, and he's just been a real inspiration for me, and he's a great guy. He's a guy's guy. And I'm thrilled that he's back here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show where our guest comes on and helps us really learn about what's going on out there. And we have a very special return guest, one of my favorites of all time, Neil Donald Walsh. Neil's written over 40 books on contemporary spirituality and its practical applications in day-to-day life. His books have really affected me because, and we'll get into this, really Neil talks about God experiencing itself through us. And I think once you process that, it changes everything in your life. So thank you, Neil, for that. His 9 Conversation with God series have made the New York Times bestsellers list. Book 1 remaining there for 134 weeks. He's got books translated into 37 languages. He's the creator of the CWG Connect, CWGConnect.com, a global online platform that connects people who wish to more deeply explore the messages and the conversations with God body of work. You can reach him at NeilDonaldWalsh.com. It's Neil with an E at the end. And he's got a new book, God Talk, Experience of Humanity's Connections to a Higher Power, which has a six-step process in it for making your communications with God a little bit easier. So welcome back to Guys Guys Radio, Neil, and so happy that you're here again.
Thank you, Robert. It's lovely to be here with you. How may I serve the moment?
Let's touch quickly on God Talk, and then we'll move to our bigger conversation today because we covered a lot of that last time. You mentioned in that book, so people know the name of the book is God Talk, a six-step process to help people make their connection with spirit.
Yes, and it's a really simple process. Possibility, worthiness, willingness, wakefulness, acceptance, and discernment. And I can run through it in 30 seconds for you. Possibility Please. Means that we have to acknowledge that it's possible that God would actually talk directly with us. Of course, if we're not willing to acknowledge that that's even a possibility, then it can't possibly happen. Worthiness, the second step, is we have to embrace the fact that we are worthy for God to talk directly to us. It isn't that God only talks to, you know, the Pope or the Archbishop of Canterbury or the Chief Ulama or the head rabbi or somebody who's, you know, sacred or in some different place, that God talks to everyone all the time. So we have to embrace our worthiness. Step 3 is willingness. This is not a small step because most of the world's religions, and there are 4,000 of them, most of the world's religions tell us that if we claim that God is talking directly to us, to say nothing of talking through us, we're committing blasphemy or heresy. So we have to be willing to set those teachings of the world's religions aside. And it's a courageous thing to do that. Step 4 is wakefulness. Once we step into our courage to receive conversations with God, we need to be wakeful, that is, wide awake, because the messages are going to come to us in 100 different ways across 1,000 lifetimes, in 1,000,000 moments. So we just have to notice that the messages from life to life about life will come to us in so many different ways, sense, feelings, thoughts, ideas, visions, as well as direct commentaries and words. Step 5, acceptance, Robert, means that we have to not reject what we hear and say, it's just a coincidence. No, it's just a serendipity, but actually don't reject it, but accept it for exactly what it is, a tip-off, an insight from the source of divine wisdom that resides within all of us. And finally, step 6, discernment, how to tell the difference between those kinds of messages and messages that are coming to us from 1,000 different directions these days, especially with the internet all over the place. So to be able to discern the difference and to know how to feel into what is genuinely a communication to life, about life, from life itself. So those are the 6 steps. And I go into it in great detail in the book to give people a deeper sense of how to step through that process.
Okay, great summation. The name of the book is God Talk. I'm holding up 3 of Neil's books, the Conversation with God, book 1, book 2, book 3. Just about every question you can imagine is answered by God in these books. So the first question would be, you were going through a hard time, you connected with God, you got the conversations going, you started writing them down, you contacted an agent, contacted a publisher, you got your deal, and off you went. And it's continued. So do you consider yourself, how would you describe yourself? An author, a channel? I know you're not a psychic. You channel messages, though. So how would you describe yourself for our listeners?
Well, I wouldn't use the word channel, Robert, only because of the way it's popularly used. In the popular use of the words, a channel is thought to be a person who somehow steps aside or who, you know, the spiritual entity takes over their body and their mind, and they start speaking through that person. Mm-hmm. So that's not a word that I use. I've stayed away from that. I don't claim to be a channel for God. God certainly hasn't stepped into my body and is taking over my body. So I wouldn't go there. What word would I use? Messenger.
Okay.
I think, you know what? I took dictation. I simply took dictation. And I've been given the opportunity, not even a command, not even a requirement, but given the opportunity to share the messages that I was given in answer to my own personal questions. And I accepted that invitation and sent my writings to a publisher who found a market for it. Mm-hmm.
Do you, people out there probably thinking, like, how often does God speak to you? And I know you get into in the book that we can all have our conversations with God, and God is always speaking to us. We just have to find the ways to see. We have to kind of rediscover ourselves so we can kind of get in touch with God speaking with us, communicating us with us, if you will. Now, you had your experience where God came to you and kind of dictated these books to you. How else and when else does God speak to you?
Gosh. You know, that's a huge question. In a, as I said a minute ago, Robert, in 100 different ways across 1,000 moments. Let me give you one example.
Please.
I'm in the menswear department at a local department store a couple of years ago, and I'm picking out a sport coat for myself, and suddenly I smell gardenia, the fragrance of gardenia. So I said to the guy, is the, the perfume counter nearby? He said, no, it's on the bottom floor of the store. I said, it's on a lower floor. I'm smelling gardenia right here. He said, I don't smell that. I don't know. Maybe somebody walked through, but I don't know who it is. So I kept on smelling this gardenia for no reason at all, right? I get home, and I realize as I'm driving home, gardenia was my mother's signature fragrance. It's the perfume that she wore all of her life. So I thought, you know what? I need to call my mother. So I called my mom. But, you know, and I'm not a person who called my mother every other day. So, you know, but I did call her out of the blue. How you doing? What's going on? Tell me everything. You know, we're having a chat. Turned out to be one of the more important conversations I ever had with my mother. And sadly, one of the last. Because she left this planet not long after that. Now, you tell me, what was that about? Why am I smelling fragrance in the men's department of a department store? That was my mother's signature fragrance. That's one of 100 different ways that life will communicate to us about life through the process of life itself. And I've had many of those kinds of moments where, you know, there's no other explanation for it. One other example was, I remember having an amazing thought. It doesn't matter what it was at this point. I don't remember, frankly, what it was. But I remember having an amazing insight one night walking down the street. And I thought, could that be true? I mean, could it really be like that? And I was just kind of wondering about it. And a shooting star streaked across the sky right in front of me in that exact moment. You know? Now, again, you know, you could say coincidence, serendipity, but no, I looked at it and I went, okay, if God could yell yes louder than that, I'd like to know how she would do it. So those are just a couple of examples, and I can give you, most people, when you press them, can give you examples just like that from their own life.
Let me give you one that just happened to me about 3 or 4 days ago. Every morning I meditate, and as part of the meditation, I ask Spirit, what do I need to know today? And invariably, I've been getting to the point where before I can even articulate the question mentally in my mind, I already have an answer, a very brief answer, right to the point.
Even before you ask, I will have answered, saith the Lord.
Yes. So this time I asked, and I got nothingness. I got a complete blank, devoid of feeling, devoid of anything. And then I got, you do it. And the message I took away from that was that God was reminding me that God is within me, that I am God, because if I have the slightest little sparkle of God in me, then I'm part of God. And if God experiences itself through me, then God was telling me to claim my power, not be asking in a duality sense something external, but go inside and ask myself to bring forth who I really am.
Wow, that's a profound piece of advice, a profound input, a profound insight. And of course, it's the message of all the world's great religions. If you study Hinduism, that's precisely the message of the Hindu faith, just as you use one example. So, you know, to end dualism and to realize that what you need is right there inside of you. So, wow, yes, I hear you. That's a great insight that you received.
And that to me, at first, I was upset because I wanted the love. I wanted a message. I wanted what I'd usually been getting. And I got just a blank field. And my eyes were closed. I was deep in my meditation. I was like, I felt like it was almost a nihilistic feeling. And then I realized, no, God is telling me that go within. Don't come. I'm not out here. I'm here. And so I think that's part of like, from reading your books, it's about, you know, life is not a school. It's about rediscovering kind of who we are, peeling away everything and discovering who we are. Is that correct, Neil?
It's about remembering what you've always known and simply calling it forward.
Okay.
You know, the simplistic example I use is our multiplication tables. I'll be darned if I can tell you what 6 times 7 is. I have no idea. But not because I never learned it. I did learn it. I acquired mastery at multiplication when I was in the 4th grade. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But ask me the same question today and I couldn't give you an answer. Because it's not, you know. So what I've learned about God is that we've been given all that we need to know. God didn't send us down here and say, good luck, hope you learn what you need to learn. So God gave us all the information we need and caused it to be placed within each of us. It's simply a matter of calling forth, mm-hmm. remembering. That is becoming a member once again, to re-member, to become a member once again of the body of God and of the mind of God.
I was reading, I think it was book 3, towards the end, and it said, you know, a great affirmation is, thank you, God, for bringing success into my life. So it's getting us to the point where we're, you know, it's the as if. If we're feeling the feeling of getting what we want instead of being in a state of wanting. And so many people, as you know, Neil, struggle with manifestation and they want things and they visualize. And it's always seems to be sometimes putting it further away from them by separating themselves from it. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, the very act of wanting something, I was told in conversations with God, will push it away from us. Because we are saying that we do not now have it. So when I say, for instance, I want more money in my life, God has a great sense of humor. And she said to me, Neil, I want you to know something. I have only one word in my vocabulary. There's only a single word that I ever say. That word is yes. So if you're walking around saying, I want more money, I need more money in my life, I need to get more money in my life, I'm going to say, yes, that's true, you do. But if you say, you know, all the money I need is coming to me now, I'm going to say, yes, that's also true. So when you understand that God only says yes, you start being very careful what it is that you are sending to God as your message about life. So I've changed my way of thinking. You know, I love my favorite prayer is, thank you, God, for helping me to understand that this problem has already been solved for me. And I step into the knowing that everything is going to be just fine. Everything is going to work out okay. And you know what, Robert? I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. I've learned, I'm an older guy now. I'm 80 years old. I've learned in my life that of the 10 things, any 10 things I've ever been worried about, 8 or 9 of them never even happened.
Right.
And the 10th one happens and works out just okay in the end, after all, anyway. So, and one of the things I say to my audiences when I was giving live talks before the whole epidemic and the whole thing going on now, but I would say to them, how many of you folks have ever experienced what you thought was going to be the biggest challenge or the biggest problem or the worst event that's occurred in your life, only to find out 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years later that it was one of the best things that ever happened to you? Mm-hmm. How many of you have experienced that? And every hand in the audience goes up. 98% of the people raise their hands. The master is the one who knows that ahead of time and doesn't wait for life to show it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone to a place where I know now ahead of time. I'm not saying I don't have any problems or challenges in my life. Of course, like everybody else, I do. But when I confront those challenges and those problems, I simply know it's all going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, Neil, you mentioned, God speaks to you. When you, God spoke to you and speaks to you, is it the same voice? How does the communication come across? Is it a knowing? It is a actual voice, like Dean Martin or something or whatever. Is it the same voice every time?
Well, as I mentioned a few moments ago, it could be a fragrance, it could be a feeling, it could be a vision, or it could be a voiceless voice, mm-hmm. what I call the voiceless voice, like the voice of my own thoughts. And my own thoughts don't come to me as a gentle female or as a grousy old man or as a young child. It's a voiceless voice. It's just a sense of hearing words, but I couldn't describe the voice. And a vocal transmission of truths, as I mentioned here, are not the only way that God communicates mm-hmm. with me.
Okay. I had another experience, kind of a conversation with God experience a few years ago. I was, it ties into something mentioned in the book that I just read again. And that is, I had I wasn't aware of it, but I had a tremendous appendicitis attack, and I was laying on the ground. I was in my bedroom, and I was like, this was incredibly painful. And I started to feel my life force leaving my body, which I've never ever experienced before. And I'm like, I have to make a decision here. So I willed myself back in, and this is all in a second or two. And then I had heard a voice say, don't drink alcohol. And I haven't had a drop of alcohol since then. That was 3.5 years ago. And I worked in the business, and I never had a problem with drinking or anything. But maybe cumulative over time, it was just something was not right for my body. But I heard that voice in a knowing, and I stopped, and that was it.
It's a marvelous example of what you and I are talking about here. And as I said a minute ago, Robert, I believe that most people we talk to could come up with at least one story like that, if not several experiences that they've had, whether it's a fragrance in the air or a vision they have or an idea. One more example that people will relate to. I'm driving down the road one morning, 2:30 in the morning, coming home from a party. And I come to a stop sign. It's 2:30 in the morning. There's nobody on the road. But I stopped, of course. I obeyed the sign. You never know when there's going to be a law enforcement officer waiting for someone to go through that sign without stopping. So I stopped, of course, obediently. But then I stepped on the accelerator because there's nobody coming left or right to go through the intersection. And I suddenly hear a voice in my own mind simply saying, stop. Mm. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it came, but I followed the instruction. It was an instinctive reaction. I heard the word stop shouted at me. I slammed on the brakes. Just then, a 16 or an 18-year-old kid comes whizzing through that intersection. He wasn't there 10 seconds earlier. He must have turned a corner around and stepped on the gas. He was going through that intersection at, it had to be 60 or 70 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. I wouldn't be here to talk to you about it. Where did that come from? What in the world, what was saying to me, stop? So, guys, everybody can give you examples like that when God has spoken to us. So it comes to us in 100 different ways across 1,000 moments.
Amazing. My special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, return guest Neil Donald Walsh. Here's three of his books, The Conversation with God. I strongly urge everybody to read these books. They're super helpful, and they come from a place of love. I mean, we were talking about... And in your book, you mentioned that God speaks to you when he spoke to you for these books in a language that you could understand. And that's not a negative. Like he's giving it to you in easy to use layman's terms. And I've talked to people who are channels, and they step out of the way and they get information. And some speak in some voices and others speak in other voices. And some are more complicated and more almost conceptualized, mathematical, if you will, than others. And so my question is, sorry for the long drawn lead up to it, but when God is, if God is inside of us and God is also somebody who's speaking to us, is it like somebody who's experienced the world of time speaking to a 7-year-old, so they have to separate to communicate with us from their place of wisdom?
I think that which I call God is absolutely aware of the consciousness level of every living thing. That's what makes it God, mm-hmm. that God can do that. So God would speak to you perhaps differently from the way that God speaks to me. And God would speak to a 7-year-old child differently than God would speak to an 80-year-old man. So because I think that which is keenly and absolutely aware of the best way to communicate with another sentient being based on their level of consciousness, their age, their knowledge, their understanding, et cetera, their experience, et cetera, et cetera. So does God talk differently to the Pope than she talks to me? I'm sure he does. Okay. I'm sure he does.
So what does God say about death? We are eternal, and we change forms. God says kind of we're shapeshifters, if you will. How should we feel? For instance, my mom passed a couple of months ago, and
There's no way we should feel. Never should on yourself, as okay. God said to me.
Okay.
So there's no way we should feel. Each of us will feel the way we do feel based on our understanding of what death really is. Now, I've just finished writing a book called Putting Death to Death.
Tell us a little bit more about it.
The point of the book is to put death to death. That is, to put the idea of death to death, because death doesn't really exist. Not in the sense of it being the end of one's experience. Is it true that a particular physical manifestation that I'm going to call my body could, in a sense, to use a metaphor, run out of gas and get to the end of the line? Yeah, of course, that can happen and does happen routinely. But the fact that the body is no longer functioning in the physical realm does not mean that the soul has discontinued its existence. It's just a change of address. I asked God directly, what is death? I said to God, can you just explain it to me? And God says, sure. Death is simply a different point of view. It's different. It's just an opportunity for you to change your idea and change your experience. It's like a change of address that you get from the post office. But you do not fail to continue to exist. And so we exist in another realm, and then we may choose, in fact, most of us, I'm told, often do, we may choose to return to the physical realm in a different physical manifestation. That is, we choose to reincarnate.
Now, when we reincarnate, can we reincarnate? Is it always the humans reincarnate always as humans or humanoid type beings or? In other words, we don't come back as an anteater or something, right? I mean, do people come back? They could be ETs, maybe, but not necessarily. They don't kind of, I don't want to say that not in a demeaning way, becoming an insect or something like that. But do people always come back as kind of where they were, or do they even advance so there's more learning, even though it's about witnessing and experiencing, not specifically a school?
My information is, and what I was told, because again, I asked the same question. Mm-hmm. And the information I received in conversations with God is that evolution only moves forward. It never moves backward. So no spiritual entity, and that's what we are. We are all spiritual beings. No spiritual being would voluntarily or is required to move backward in this evolutionary process. So therefore, we do not come back as an animal. We do not come back as an insect. We do not come back as an inanimate object. We continue to move forward. Might we come back to physicality in a different civilization where there's a far more advanced understanding of who we are and why we're here? That could absolutely happen, in my understanding.
Did God explain to you, Neil, what God, and I'm going to put the word in quotes, kind of wants? Because God witnesses everything, and God is in all of us. So it's God's kind of splintered itself into everything. What is the kind of objective of what God is doing? Is it just to witness everything, to share love, to what? What is God's purpose for itself?
To create entities, sentient beings that are given God's own qualities. I think that God has chosen to recreate itself in all the sentient beings in the cosmos and to empower those sentient beings with the ability to produce their own reality using the laws of metaphysics. Mm-hmm. And so God's intention is to experience divinity through each of its creations. That's my understanding. There's nothing that God wants that God doesn't, and God does not, by the way, need that to happen.
Right.
It's simply God's desire. And there's a difference, a huge difference, I was told again in the dialogue, Neil, there's a huge difference between need and desire. Mm-hmm. When you come from need, it's very difficult to produce any outcome mm-hmm. that you would choose. But when you come from desire, it's a very powerful, positive, energetic that can be a magnificent metaphysical tool. So God has desires but no needs. Therefore, God does not want anything in particular, but God desires for us to experience our own divinity.
So God witnesses. God doesn't take sides from what I've read. And so, therefore, what is the purpose of prayer? And you had mentioned earlier you pray. Well, if God is just witnessing, what is there to pray for?
Whatever it is we desire.
But do we put ourselves into a position of wanting if it's like I'm praying for something I desire?
It depends on how you pray. If you pray the way I pray, thank you, God, for helping me to understand just to use a simplistic example.
Please.
Thank you, God, for helping me to understand that all the money I need is coming to me now. That's one way of praying. Another way of praying is, God, I really need some money. You know, help me get some money. I don't have enough money. So as I said a little earlier, it depends on how we pray, mm-hmm. Which is simply the method by which we send our metaphysical energy into the universe. We're talking here about basic metaphysics. Do we have any kind of metaphysical power in the universe or don't we? If the answer is no, then we have a whole different discussion. But if the answer is yes, we do have the metaphysical power to create our own reality, then the question becomes, really? How? Neil, tell me how. And that's what is the main thrust of the Conversations with God dialogue books. It tells us how we can use the metaphysical power that's placed within each human being and all sentient beings in the cosmos. You know, there's a guy named James Allen who wrote an extraordinary book, I think in 1902 or 1906, somewhere way back there, called As a Man Thinketh.
Mm-hmm.
And that book says it all. You know, and I remember a guy walking around here about 2,000 years ago said to the leper, the leper crawled up to him on his knees and said, you know, if I could just touch your garment, I would be healed. And Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, you really believe that? Are you just saying that to please me, or do you really believe that? And the guy said, no, I really believe it. I believe it. If I could just touch your robe, I would be healed. And Jesus looked at the man and said, as you believe, so will it be done unto you.
Amazing.
And what was even more amazing is that his followers, the followers of Jesus, were astonished at what had just happened. And they were like, oh my God, they were telling everybody about it. And he stopped them. He said, wait a minute. Why are you so amazed? These things and more shall you do also. I'm quoting, by the way, directly out of scripture. I'm not making this up.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his exact words. Why are you so amazed? These things and more shall you do also.
Let me ask you about a separate subject, but equally interesting. That is the concept of time. We talked about past lives and talked about reincarnation. We didn't talk about past lives. So if somebody dies, the physical body dies, can they come back in the past if time is, we look at most people in our third dimension, look at time kind of in a linear fashion, past, present, future. And apparently, time doesn't work that way. Everything's happening at the same time. What did God tell you about time?
Just what you said. There's no such thing as time in a linear fashion. That there is only the single moment of now. and that everything that ever happened, is happening, and ever will happen is occurring in the single moment of now. And I had a hard time wrapping my head around that. And God said, so God gave me an example. She said, Neil, have you ever played computer chess?
Yeah.
I said, I've played computer chess. God said, you do understand, of course, that the entire game has already been played. Every move you could possibly make has already been programmed onto the disk by chess masters. You can't make a move that the program doesn't already anticipate because it's already occurred. You're simply doing something that's already happened, and you're experiencing it as it already happened. God said, let me ask you another question. Do you have any DVDs in your collection, Neil? A favorite movie you really love? I said, yes, I have. I have lots of movies I love. God said, when you hold the disc in your hand, is the entire story on the disc? I said, yes. God said, but when you put it into your machine, you're looking at it frame by frame as if it hasn't happened yet. But the whole story is there on the disc. It's all right there. Now, and then God said to me, if you guys down there on your planet can produce such outcomes with your limited understanding, what do you suppose God can do?
Another point on time. A lot of talk nowadays is about different timelines and shifting timelines and kind of splitting off where some folks are kind of quote unquote ascending towards the fifth dimension, and other people have decided, I kind of want it to, I'm tripling down on the way things are, I want that to be the way it is. What does God have to say about timelines?
I didn't ask God particular questions about that. Other than, the information I got is that, there is only one single moment. But we can go through that moment in any, as distance I mentioned, in any way that we wish. So we could call, as you play computer chess, you and I are playing the same game. We go out and buy computer chess 101. You put it in your computer, I put it in my computer. As I said, all the moves have already been made. But you choose different moves and I choose different moves. We both experience the game differently. So you call me and say, wow, this is really difficult. I really had a hard time even winning this game. And I say to you, wow, I won the first time through. So, it wasn't difficult for me at all. And that's the difference between chess masters and chess students. Mm-hmm. Or, if you please, life masters and life students. So timelines, I think that a timeline is simply a metaphor that we use to describe the way we move through the single moment of now. And we can move through that moment over and over, and by the way, over and over and over again, and we do.
It's interesting that in the three books, a lot of the, I'm sure people ask you, what does God say about what's going on right now? Well, reading book three, a lot of what God describes is what's happening right now already. I guess, is it the fact that time is, we're just experiencing a little blip in time right now, or do you get a sense from your conversations with God as to, is anything happening now that things are going to go through a change, an ascension, a solar flare, this or that? I know I'm not asking you to predict the future. I know God doesn't give you predictions, but what is your sense from your conversations as to, is humanity at a tipping point now in a lot of areas with all the kind of quote-unquote chaos going on?
Your question is answered in Conversations with God, Book 4, which people may or may not know exists.
Okay.
But it's been out for quite a few years. It's not a new book. It's been out there for about 8 or 10 years. Conversations with God, Book 4, okay. subtitle, Awaken the Species. And the question you just asked is answered fully there. It talks about what's going on in the world, not specifically, but the kinds of things that are happening, the conflict, the war, the economic upheaval, the social unrest. It talks about all those things. Then it makes a startling statement. It says, you are moving through what could be the best time ever, the best moment ever in which to make the fastest, most rapid advancement as a civilization. So what I thought were the worst of times, could be the best of times. Who was it that wrote? It was the worst of times. It was the best of times.
Dickens?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who
it was. I think it was Dickens, right?
And anyway,
Tale of Two Cities, right?
what the dickens. But it was the worst of times, it was the best of times. And the point that's made in Conversation with God, Book 4, okay, is that this is the moment that we've been waiting for as a civilization to move forward, because all the worst things that we think could happen, the epidemic, you know, the social unrest, the economic upheaval, you know, all that's going on, of course, the wars, the violence, all the rest of it, are leading us to a moment when we are going to have to start making major decisions about who we are and who we choose to be, both as individuals and as a civilization, as a species. So, and then God gives us a list of 16 differences between highly evolved beings and sentient beings who are walking around sleepwalking, not knowing who they are and why they're here. And God says, if you were to pay attention to these 16 differences between highly evolved beings and human beings who are walking around in an unawakened state, you could change your life, and a lot of you could have impact that could change the world virtually overnight. So Conversations with God, Book 4, is highly recommended.
I will pick it up on Amazon right after the show, and I urge everybody else to do that also. Angels. A lot of people talk about angels, and I'm sure you know that people have been told that everybody has a guardian angel that stays with them throughout at least this life. What has God communicated to you about angels? Who are they?
Can precisely, they be? Precisely what you've just said, that we each have an angel that stays with us throughout our physical incarnation. And those angels are, to use a vernacular, to use a metaphor, volunteers. That is, a soul decides, you know, that I would like to guide and work with a physical entity to assist them in moving through their life. And a soul would do that as part of its evolutionary process. Mm-hmm. So that's why a soul would do it. And sometimes it could be a parent who chooses not to let go of their sense of duty and responsibility for a child that they brought through. So, you know, if someone had said to me, Neil, has your mother ever given you advice in your lifetime, even after she passed from her own physical life? I'd say, oh, yeah, I hear from mom all the time. And I hear from my dad as well. It sometimes just in remembering the things that he would say to me, but sometimes an urging where he might say to me, son, have you forgotten what I've told you? You know, let me repeat it to you. And then I would bring to my memory words that my father would say to me. And he said some astonishing things to me when I was 7 or 8 years old that I didn't really catch the importance of until I was like 28 or 39.
What does God say to you about the dream state? What can we glean from our dreams? Are they random, or do they have messages, and how can we work with them?
The answer is yes to both questions. They can be random and they can be messages. So it's not either one or the other. It's not either black or white. It's not either this or that. So it can, dreams can sometimes be the random workings of the mind, and dreams can sometimes be specific messages that are being sent to us, in fact, by our guardian angels or by the source of divinity itself that resides within all of us. I pay attention to my dreams. And when I have a dream that's particularly impactful or even unusual, I keep a dream journal and I write the dream down. And often when I'm writing the dream down, I go, oh, that's what I was being invited to take a look at. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, there was a guy who made a movie a few years ago called What Dreams May Come.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah.
Was that Robin Williams?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. A wonderful gentleman that I got to meet. I went to the premiere of because I knew the director of the producer of the show was a man named Stephen Simon, who mm-hmm. also directed Conversations with God, the movie. Mm-hmm. So Robin and I had a direct connection.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, as always, for being such an influence from your work in my life and for being such a great guy. And I consider you a friend. And thank you so much, Neil, for being on Guys Radio and supporting my work here.
Thank you, Robert. It's lovely to be here with you. As my friend Bill would say, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
All right. God bless. Take care, Neil.
Okay. Bye for now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, a terrific conversation. In fact, I think it might be the best conversation we've had to date with spiritual teacher, messenger, Neil Donald Walsh. Today we talked a lot about the kind of the text within the series Conversations with God, because I find it so practical and so informative, and it really changed my life when I started to realize some of the things that I took away from the books. For instance, and we went over this today, now God experiences itself through us. So that means we all have that little spark of God inside, and we can claim things. We can ask. We can have whatever we want, because it's all there. It's all in the field, if you will. It's how we kind of connect to that field and make it ours. And there's so many ways we can do this, and so many ways we misfire on that, by wanting and keeping things far away from us and pushing things that we'd like to have away, and also not being open to the wonderful things that could be there for us that we might not have thought about, because we're so controlling and so myopic about, I want this at this time and whatever. It might be such a small speck of what you can actually get. And one of the points of the books are that we can have whatever we want, just work with spirit on these things and be in gratitude. And one of the affirmations that Neil taught was, thank God every day for bringing success into your life. And that's a good one. And I keep that in mind. So that's one piece of learning. The other is that God doesn't want anything from us, and God's not judging us. And you really don't have to apologize for God to everything. You can apologize to yourself or to other people, but God loves us unconditionally and is inside of each and every one of us. Now, you believe what you want. This is just what I'm saying, and based on my conversations with not only Neil Donald Walsh, but so many other spiritual and metaphysical teachers we've had on Guys Guys Radio. It's totally up to you. You might not believe in any of this. You might follow your own specific religion. That's cool. I think the messages in Neil's books are, they're positive. They're about love, because ultimately, if you break down everything in these books, it's about everything is love, and how we can tap into that and recognize the love that we have within. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris. I want to thank my strategy and the dude who interviewed me on my 600 show, Ryan, who's a fantastic. He's a real guy's guy, too. And I also want to thank, most importantly, you, our growing audience. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want to support the show, subscribe. If you like the guests and content I bring you each and every week to the show, please subscribe to our YouTube, subscribe, review, rate, wherever you consume Guys Guys Radio. Thank you so much. I'm going to see you again next week. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.